Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you at the Gospel Service tonight, and we welcome you in the Saviour's great name. 265 is our opening hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. The hymn 265, we'll leave out the third verse, we'll sing the first two and the last two, and we'll stand together as we sing, please.
I stand.
Just bow together in prayer. We're going to seek the Lord for his help and his blessing upon our service tonight. Heavenly Father, we approach thee at the throne of grace, very thankful for the privilege that we have. We remember that you've said that if we draw nigh to thee, that thou wilt draw nigh to us. Our longing, Father, our desire, as we come into thy house tonight, is that we might meet with thee, that we would sense and be conscious of the Lord with us and the Lord amongst us. We pray, Father, that you'll come and visit us in thy house tonight. We want to pray that we'll have one of those meetings that we could describe as a time of heaven upon the earth. We pray that this meeting from the very beginning will be a blessing to our hearts and to our souls. We want to pray, Father, right from the outset, that we know the Lord is here, that the Lord is with us and amongst us. We pray, Father, that your presence will be known in this meeting in such a way that all that are gathered will know the Lord is with us in his house this evening. We do thank you, Father, for the evening gospel service. We want to plead tonight for the hand of God to be upon this meeting in great power and in great blessing. We plead especially, Father, that you'll come tonight upon this meeting in salvation blessing. We pray that there might be those in our service this evening that will taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to pray that in the service tonight that you'll give us a sight of Christ, our Saviour. We pray that we might see him whom our soul loveth. We pray that you'll take away the blindness, take away the scales from our eyes. We remember, Father, the prayer of those Greeks of old when our Saviour was here upon this earth. They said we would see Jesus. And Father, that would be the great burden, the great longing of our hearts as we come into thy house tonight. Take from us the thought of the things of this world that press in so much upon us. And Lord, we want to pray tonight that you'll show us thyself in all your beauty and in all your glory. We ask, Father, that you'll own this meeting. We pray that you'll put your seal of blessing, your seal of approval upon it. We remember, Father, as we gather, that you're the one that knows the hearts of all men. You know the hearts of those in the service not right with thee, those that are cold, those that are backslidden, those that are not saved. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll speak tonight, speak through your word. We want to pray that you'll speak clearly, speak powerfully, Father, in our midst. And we want to ask that there might be signs following the preaching of your word. Give fruit tonight in this service. We ask you to give fruit that will remain. We pray that there will be those that will be one to Christ and added to this congregation, added to the membership of this work, that in years to come that they will be mightily used of God in the service of the Master. And Lord, as we gather, we're conscious even of what we considered from your word this morning of the burdens that weigh upon the hearts even of your people. Those that are gathered tonight that have burdens weighing heavily upon them that perhaps others only thyself know anything about. And Lord, we plead that they might be enabled, even as we're bowed just now in prayer, that they might be enabled to cast their burden upon the Lord, knowing that he will sustain them. Lord, be with all those that are passing through times of difficulty and times of trial. Does Jesus care? We rejoice, Father, to know that you do care, that you cared for our souls. And Lord, we want to pray that each one in great need tonight will know the touch of God. We pray that you will sustain them. We ask you to uphold them with the right hand of your righteousness. We remember that your word says that you can do something that no other can do, that you're able to heal the brokenhearted. And Lord, those whose hearts are heavy, those whose hearts are sad, we plead that they will know the touch of the nail-pierced hand even resting upon them. Lord, remember our land at this time. We lift our nation before thee, a land that is sick spiritually, this land that needs the visitation of God resting upon it. Remember that the psalmist spoke about nations that have forgotten God, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that have forgotten God. And Lord, we're saddened that our land is such a land at this time, forgotten your word and forgotten your day. So many across this favoured province of ours that have no thought of the Lord and his house and his day. And Lord, we would plead with thee to be merciful to us. We ask for a move of your spirit. Lord, we cry to thee, send to us a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We pray that even in this meeting tonight, you'll give us a little reviving. Remember when the Saviour was here upon this earth, that he breathed upon his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And Lord, it is for the breath of God, the quickening touch of the Lord upon our meetings and upon our service for Christ that we pray for tonight. We ask the Lord, give us soul-winning times. Give to us again those soul-winning meetings. We ask the Lord to use us in the winning of the lost to Christ. He that winneth souls is wise. Remember what your word says about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And Lord, for such a life, such a ministry that we would cry for this evening. Lord, we ask that even in this service, that there will be those that will be won to Jesus Christ in salvation. We pray too, Father, from this congregation and from all our churches, that there will be those that will be sent forth to the great mission fields of the earth. Lord, we lift up our eyes as your word exhorts us, and we look in the fields and we see that they're white already on the harvest. You've told us that the harvest is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth labourers. Lord, we ask thee to hear our cry, our united and earnest prayer. Send labourers to this congregation in Ballygown. And Lord, send forth labourers even across the earth, that they might be used in the bringing of the nations to Jesus Christ in salvation. Lord, hear our prayers and our cries. Come and fill us now with the Holy Ghost. Come and guide us through this service. Use us in this meeting. Pray that you'll make us a channel of blessing. We pray for a word from God for this gathering tonight. Your word says how forcible are right words, and we pray that you'll give us the right words for every part of this meeting. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together, please, from James chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of James. We're going to read from the verse 8 of the chapter, and we'll read down to the end. James chapter 4, the verse 8. Let us hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. James 4, the 8th verse. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. We pray the Lord will bless to all our hearts tonight. This is the public reading of his word. Just going to bring maybe two messages in song to your hearts at this time. The first one is The Last Mile of the Way. It's good to think of the end of the journey, the end of the journey of life. This hymn, or this message, says, I know there are joys that await me. It's the joys of heaven that awaits the believer. We pray that that is your testimony, that that is your prospect as you look forward to the end of life and that day when you'll be summoned out into eternity. The last mile of the way.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me. I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for his sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Here the dearest of ties we must sever, tears of sorrow are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighing forever when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all his will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way.
Amen. The second message is that day at Calvary brings us to the cross of our Saviour, to his sufferings. I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died.
I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew he loved me so, for me was crucified. And as I stood there in my sin, his love reached down to me, and all the shame that filled my soul that day at Calvary, I knelt one day at Calvary, my eyes were filled with tears to think such love I had refused through all these wasted years. And as I knelt, I heard him say, I did it all for thee. And all the love that filled my soul that day at Calvary, I prayed one day at Calvary, I'm thine forevermore. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sin, my lost estate restore. And as I prayed, to me he gave salvation full and free. And all the peace that filled my soul that day at Calvary.
Amen. We're going to ask our brother James just to come and bring the announcements, please.
Do give to one and all a very warm welcome tonight to our evening gospel service. If you're visiting with us, we do give you a warm welcome. We extend it to you, and we do trust that you'll be blessed tonight through the proclamation of thy word. Others tonight, perhaps listening in online in your own home, we pray that you too will know the blessing of God's word in the gospel. We give a warm welcome to our preacher today, the Reverend David McMillan, minister of our Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. I think I can say without a shadow of a doubt, we were blessed this morning through the ministry of his word to our own hearts. And that portion of scripture and verse that was brought to us today. We thank him for that, and we do trust that he will know that help anew in the proclamation of the word in the gospel. As you leave tonight, the baskets are at the door for the offering. Please give as the Lord has prospered you, and you'll find those just as you leave the building tonight. The services very quickly for the incoming week. Monday morning, 10:30 a.m, the mother and toddlers meet in the church hall. And then just one change from what we did say this morning. Awana are moving their meetings back to a Monday night. They find that the Tuesday night clashed with other things. So tomorrow night, 6:45 and continuing on a bi-weekly basis, they will meet on a Monday night. So the Awana Club, do remember that, please. Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting. And the Reverend Samuel Murray will be speaking at that meeting. Thursday night, 7:30, committee meeting, followed by a session meeting immediately after its conclusion. A full attendance is required, and any items for the agenda to Brian or myself by Tuesday evening latest, please. Next Lord's Day, the 30th of October, 10 a.m. the Sunday School, 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m., the Seasons of Prayer in the upstairs room prior to those services, and then at 11:30 and 7 p.m., the preacher at both services will be the Reverend Brian Lorimer from our Clock Mills Free Presbyterian Church. Do remember those services. Plan to attend and come and join with us. Immediately after the morning service, next Lord's Day, we will be meeting around the Lord's table for our communion service. And if you need replacement cups, they're in the box there in the hall as you leave the meeting tonight. Please avail yourself of them. The meetings as well, as we've said, 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m., the Seasons of Prayer. Other meetings just for advance notice tomorrow night. The Dungannon Ladies Conference in our Dungannon Free Church at 8 o'clock. Saturday the 5th of November, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., our Banbridge Church will be holding an event in aid of the Emmanuel Christian School and Orphanage in Uganda. Full details of that are on the notice board just in the corridor, and all money raised on that day will go in its entirety to this work. So if you want to know the details, the times, etc., they're on that letter and the notice on the notice board. We mentioned this morning, we listed those who were sick. We bring them to your attention. This evening, one person that I forgot to mention, and I apologise for that, our brother Robert, our organist, hasn't been well. And he too needs our prayers at this time. And we trust that you'll remember him at this time, that he too will know the Lord's touch upon him. That's all the announcements we have. I'll hand back to the Reverend McMillan. Thank you, brother.
Hymn 215, please. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not for me he died on Calvary. 215, we'll sing verses 1, 3 and 4, and we'll stand as we sing, please.
Oh,
We do thank our brother James for the kind words of welcome. And we thank Mr. Murray for the invitation along to conduct the services today. We're glad of the opportunity to speak to the children, the young people in the Sunday school this morning as well, particularly about the Emmanuel Christian School out there in Uganda, a work that is close to our hearts, and we appreciate their interest in the work there and the money that they're going to raise to help support the children. That is very much appreciated indeed. So it's good to be with you, and we pray again tonight we'll know the Lord's presence and his hand resting upon the service. We're going to have a wee word of prayer together. We'll seek the Lord's face. Father, we thank you for help that has been known through this day, even in this service again tonight. We thank you for the power that there is in thy so great salvation. The gospel is still the power unto the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Lord, our prayer would be that you will come tonight and display your power even in our midst, in the saving and the transforming of lives in this meeting. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Lord, we want to pray that some go from the service tonight saying, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. We remember, Father, all that have been named and mentioned today that are unwell, unable to be here in the house of God. We ask that they would know the nearness of the Lord. May they know the touch of God. Your word tells us that you know our frame. You know us better even than the doctor, better than the consultant. You know every need. You know the very touch that each brother and sister requires at this time. Give wisdom and guidance to the doctors. We do thank you for them, the ability that you have given to them. We pray that you'll bless their labours. But Lord, our prayer, especially for those that are unwell, is that it would please thee to give each one a healing touch from thyself. You've said in your word that we're to pray one for another, that we might be healed. We remember our sister Mrs. Hamilton in the United States especially, and her dear husband, as they pass through very trying days. Thank you for bringing her sister safely through the surgery yesterday. And we commit her and the future into your hands, the surgery that awaits again next week. We pray that you'll sustain them at this time. And Lord, we remember that you're the great physician. And Lord, we're asking it might please thee to give our sister too a strengthening and a healing touch from thyself. Remember, Father, any in this meeting that are still sick in their sins, those that need the healing touch spiritually of the Lord upon their soul and upon their life. We want to ask, Lord, that there will be some in this meeting tonight that might taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear our prayers and our cries. And Lord, come tonight and touch this meeting. May we know the touch of God very clearly resting upon it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. James 4 and the verse 14 is our text for the service tonight. James 4 verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's especially the part of the verse where the question is asked, for what is your life? Just for a few minutes this evening, at the end of this gospel service, we want you to think about your life. We want you to think about the life that you're living. Especially we want you to think of how you're living your life upon this earth. Think of the question, ponder it carefully, that's before us this evening. What is your life? That's a good question for any of us to ask, especially those that are out of Christ. And it's especially a good question for you to ask in these days, these very difficult, challenging days in which we're found. So I encourage you to ponder the question. Ponder it carefully. Ponder it personally tonight. Ask yourself, what is life for you? What is your life all about? What is your life taken up with? What is it devoted to? What are you focused upon as you live your life upon this earth? Remember, men and women, that life is a precious gift. It's a precious gift that comes to each one of us from the hand of God himself. Remember Paul preaching on Mars Hill said, "He giveth to all life and breath and all things freely to enjoy." It's good to remember that the life you have, it has come from God's hand. Every breath that you breathe, he gives it to you. And that life that you have, men and women, is something that you should praise the Lord for. Even as you sit in his house tonight, lift your heart to heaven and thank God for the life that he has given to you. Let me remind you that at very best, life is short. The text reminds us of that fact. What is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The reality, men and women, is you don't have long upon this earth. We want to encourage you to take that in tonight, to consider it carefully. Want to encourage you to take that to heart. The reality is that you need to be wise, you need to be careful with the life that you have and how you use that little time that the Lord is pleased to give to you. And remember, men and women, it is a very important thing to consider your life, especially in the light of the fact that your life can end so quickly. And that's what I want you to do, just for a short time tonight. The sad reality is this, if you think of considering your life, the sad reality is that many people make mistakes. They make great mistakes about the purpose of life, great mistakes about what life is really for and what life on this earth is really all about. And maybe you're one of those people. You have a wrong estimate of life upon this earth. The reality is you're living life all wrong. Let me for a few moments just list for you the main mistakes that people make about life as they think of the question, what is your life? I want to mention to you the main mistakes that people make about life on this earth. For some people, life is all about things. Isn't it true? We often talk about the things of life. And the sad reality in this materialistic society, this materialistic age in which we're found, the sad thing is that many people live just for things, for what they own, for what they possess, for all the things and all the possessions that they can amass while they're here upon this earth. I wonder, are you like that? You think that life is all about obtaining, all about owning things. You think that the more possessions that a person has, well, that's an indication of the more successful that their life is. You judge the success of life by what you have. Men and women, that's a common mistake. We want you to see tonight how wrong you are. Do you remember the Saviour, when he was here during his earthly ministry, he warned, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." The message is clear that things, temporal possessions, they're not the most important thing in this world. They're not the most important thing in life. They certainly shouldn't have priority in your life. And yet, isn't it true that many people live as if there was nothing else to life other than things and possessions? You think of the rich young ruler. The Saviour told him, "Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." But yet he couldn't. And the reason he couldn't sell all that he had was because money was his God. Money was his idol. And maybe that's true of some in this service tonight. William Jennings Bryan was a very famous American politician at the beginning of the 20th century. He said on one occasion that those people who live for money, and maybe that's a description of you tonight, he said, those people that live for money, they spend the first half of their life getting what they can from everybody else. And then they spend the second half of their life trying to keep everybody else from getting what they have. And how true that is, men and women. We talked this morning about burdens. And the reality is that for many rich people, money is just a burden. Maybe those words of William Jennings Bryan's are a summary of your life so far. Can I ask you just to consider tonight, ask yourself the question, this vital question, what will happen to all the things that you have? What will happen to all the possessions that you have? Think of that just for a moment. And let me mention to you some answers. Answers that are given not by me, not by the church, not even by the government, but some answers to that question that are given by God himself in his word. What's going to happen to all the things that you possess? Well, for one thing, they're going to decay. They're going to wear out. They're going to wear away. The Saviour, as he ministered and brought his great Sermon on the Mount, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He's speaking there about treasures, the things that you value in this life. Did you notice what he said? That every one of them will end either in dust or rust, where moth and rust doth corrupt. So I pray that you'll see that tonight. One day, everything that you have, it'll just be rubbish or junk. Things don't last. They don't last forever. Remember that every one of them, all that you have, men and women, it's all temporal. Something else that will happen to all that you possess is it's going to be left behind whenever you die and go from this scene of time. You won't take those things with you. Remember the old expression, there's no trailer on a hearse. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Notice the word nothing, or no thing. See how relevant that is to our subject tonight? There's not one thing that you have, not one thing that you own, that you're going to take with you from this world or from this life whenever you die, whenever your life ends. The other answer that I'll mention to that question, what will happen to all that you own and possess? Well, one day it's going to be destroyed. Remember that God once destroyed this world with water in the days of Noah's flood. And there's a day coming when he will destroy this world again, this time by fire. Peter said, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, saying then that all these things shall be destroyed or dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye then to be? Notice again, all these things. Isn't it interesting? The Bible, men and women, has much to say about the things of life. God created this world, and there's a day coming when he's going to cremate it and everything that is found within it. And men and women, you need to see tonight that it's a mistake, it's a serious mistake, to live your life only for things. Another mistake that some people make about life is they think it's all about thrills. There's an old gospel hymn, as you hurry along in the pleasure-mad throng. I wonder, does that describe you tonight, someone in the meeting? Is that the way that you live? Is that the sort of company you keep? It's just a pleasure-mad throng. Life is all about pleasure, about excitement, about fun and thrills. For you, life is just one big party from beginning to end. And you never want the party to end. You live for the weekend. You live for the pub and the club and the drink and the dance and all the drugs that can be provided, the lusts of the flesh and the thrills of life. And yet you'd have to admit tonight, if you're really honest, that it doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter how often you do it or indulge in it, you're never really happy, and you're never really satisfied. There's still a great void, there's still a great emptiness in your life. I wonder, you like that tonight? You've tried everything that life, everything that the world has to offer, then you did it more in a far greater measure. But it only brought you greater disappointment. It only brought you greater emptiness. Let me tell you why that is, men and women. It's because the thrills of sin don't last. They're something that is shallow and transient and fleeting. You think of what the Bible says about Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Just take those final words in, especially the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin. Of that there is no doubt. It cannot be denied. But remember, it's only for a season. The pleasures of sin don't last. And remember, as you think of the pleasures and the thrills of sin, that there's a season of reaping as well as the season of sowing. If you sow to the flesh and all its lusts, then you're going to reap its consequences. Paul said, writing to the church at Galatia, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." So the message is clear. There's a clear warning. If you only live for the flesh, live for sin, there's a harvest coming. Ultimately, you're going to receive the penalty for your sin by going out into a lost eternity. There is another great gospel hymn that you'll be familiar with. "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." And how true that is, men and women. Can I say to you tonight that the reality is real joy, real happiness, it's not to be found in the things of this world. It's only to be found in Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives joy unspeakable. In other words, a joy that cannot fully and adequately be spoken of and described. Do you remember that the psalmist said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." You never find that in the world. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So I stress to you tonight, men and women, fullness of joy, pleasures that last, is only to be found in Christ. And it's only to be found in being with Christ for all eternity. So I want to ask you, in the gospel service tonight, will you receive him as your saviour? Will you receive him today into your heart by faith to be your saviour and to take your sins away? The other mistake I'll mention to you, the wrong estimate that people make about life, is they think it's all about theories. The lives of many people today are taken up with theories. Their life is absorbed with all the theories of men and all that those theories are. Theories like communism, atheism, environmentalism, all the isms, all the fads, all the philosophies of this evil day in which we live. And men and women run after all of those notions, all the notions of men about health and wealth and life hereafter. There's a great explosion in the day in which we live of what can be called conspiracy theories. Who killed JFK? Who blew up the Twin Towers? Is Elvis Presley really dead? Did Neil Armstrong really walk on the moon? Conspiracy theories abound all around us on every hand. You know, down in Armagh, you go out the road towards Moy and Dungannon, there's a factory there today called McLaughlin and Harvey. They opened a new factory there just a few years ago. That factory stands on the site of what was the old Drumsill Hotel. It used to be on that very place. In the late 1990s, Barry White, a preacher from New Zealand, he held meetings in that hotel. And he said that all the computers all across the world would crash in the year 2000. He said the world would be plunged into chaos. And he warned people to get ready for that date, for that day. And one of the things he told them was they needed to buy large amounts of toilet roll. Why, you say, toilet roll? Well, he suggested it'd be a good thing to use to bargain with and to barter with when all the economies of the earth had crashed. And I know people that went to those meetings and did the very things that he said. Isn't it a sad thing when preachers start promoting things that are nothing more than theories. So I ask you tonight, men and women, what of your life? Is it taken up at this time with theories, listening to, reading, studying, promoting, all sorts of theories? Well, if it is, let me warn you that theories are the weapon of the devil. Do you know what those theories will do if you follow them? They will take your soul to hell. They will damn your soul in a lost eternity. Can I tell you tonight in the gospel service, men and women, what you need most of all, what you need to listen to, what you need to devote your time to, is not theories, but truth. God's truth. And there's only one place that you will find that truth, and that is in the Bible. The Saviour said, "Thy word is truth." This book is not theory. It's not guesswork. It's not fiction. It's not make-believe. It is the truth. And it is the message of him who is the truth. You know, that's the reason why you need to read this book. Read it regularly. Read it carefully. That's the reason why you need to come to gospel services like this and sit under the faithful preaching of the word of God. Men and women, I say to you tonight that this is the greatest book on earth. That's the reason why it is the most attacked book on earth. But this book can do something that no other book can do. That's the reason why it's so precious, why it's so valuable. You ask me, what can the Bible do that no other book can do? Well, it can do this. It can show you the way to heaven. It can show you the way to experience God's so great salvation. Paul said to Timothy that it's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So the Bible can give you the greatest knowledge. It can give you the greatest education. Through this book, you can get to know Christ, the one who is the Son of God. You can get to know him personally, intimately. You can get to know Jesus Christ savingly. You can know tonight, before you go from this gospel service, that your sins are forgiven. John said, "These things are written that you might know." There's the certainty of it. That you might know that you have eternal life. You know, a question that is often asked is, how do you know? There's a whole lot of how do you know questions that unbelievers like to present you with. How do you know that there is a God? How do you know that there's a hell? How do you know that there really was a person called Jesus Christ? Well, another one on that list is, how do you really know that the Bible's true? You ever been asked that question? Maybe you're asking it tonight as you sit in this gospel meeting. Well, you know, men and women, there's a simple answer to that question. If you want to know if anything's true, then what you need to do is put it to the test. And what you need to do in the service tonight is put the Bible to test. And you know, you can do that now. You can do it in this meeting. You can do it this very night. You can put the word of God to the test. The Bible says, if you repent and believe the gospel, if you turn from your sins and trust Christ, then you'll be changed. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be saved. You'll have peace in your heart and peace in your life. So I say to you, I put the challenge to you tonight. If you really, truthfully, genuinely and sincerely want to know if the message of this book is true, that the message of the Bible is the truth, then that's what you need to do. Put the Bible to the test. Confess your sins and come and trust Christ as your Saviour. And if you do that, what you will find is that you'll be a new creature in Christ. Your life will be changed. It'll be changed completely, and it will be changed forever. What is your life? Can it be summed up with one of these things that we've mentioned tonight? Things? Is your life all about things? Is your life absorbed with thrills? All the thrills of sin? Is your life tonight taken up with all the theories and notions of men? If it is, then I stress again to you that these are all false estimates of what life is about. They're all false estimates of how life should be lived. If any of these is what you're living for tonight, if any of these is what you're spending your time, your energy, your talents on, then we want you to know and to see that's the reason why your life is so empty. It's the reason why your life is so meaningless, so futile. And remember, men and women, you'll never find real life. You'll never find the real purpose for life until you find it in Jesus Christ. Until you come to Jesus Christ, give your heart and life to him, and live your life for him. And that's what we want to urge you to do at the end of this gospel service this evening. Remember, he is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul said, writing to the church at Philippi, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What that means is to find real life, lasting and satisfying life. You need, first of all, men and women, to find Christ. Find him as your Saviour. Come to him for salvation. And I want to urge you to do that. Do it right now. Do it this evening before you go from this gospel service. What is your life? May the Lord be pleased to write that question upon every heart in the service. We're going to sing together the words of a closing hymn, 230. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, being time. Fleeting days are telling fast, and the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. 230, please, we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come to thee at the close of the service, thanking you for your presence, and we thank you for your speaking voice. We rejoice to know in your mercy that you speak on, even after a service such as this is over. We want to pray, Father, that you'll strive upon the hearts of those that know not Christ as their Saviour. We pray that there might be some in this meeting that will tremble tonight at the word of God. But we pray, Father, that you'll bless in the saving of souls in this meeting. We want to ask that family circles will be united in Christ. We want to plead, Father, for our loved ones that are not right with thee. Have mercy upon their souls, we pray. And Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands as we go from your house. We thank you for the blessing of being in your house on this, the first day of the week. Your word says we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we're glad, Father, on the first day of the week that we've been in thy house, the company of your people. We've been about our master's business. We've been seeking first the extension of your kingdom. And our prayer, Father, is you'll go with us through this week. We know not what a day will bring forth. And Lord, we know not what this week will bring. But we're glad to know that you'll be with us. You've said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We pray that you'll go before us and lead us through this week. Lead us every step of the way. Help us to be faithful to God. Help us to be bright and shining lights for the Master. And Lord, we plead that you will use us, even in the winning of souls to Christ. Part us now in thy fear and with thy favour, and spread your covering wings around until all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.